something happening here. But what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
I'm C.J. Layton, coming to you from inside the secret broadcast cave of the Phantom Radio Studio in Lake Wales, Florida, home of the premier radio bowling talk show. PBA Hall of Famer Len Nicholson was instrumental in developing the PBA Lane Maintenance Program in 1971, and it is still referred to today. He was a founding member of the Bowling Foundation, which was created to find solutions to scoring issues in bowling. Len has been with the Kegel Company since 1995. He was also a recipient of the bowling industry's Flowers for the Living Award and the John Davis Award in recognition for his contributions to the sport. And now the Phantom and his friends are hosting the Phantom Radio Junior Bowling Club. The Phantom will tell you more. So, Phantom fans, let's welcome our host, Len Nicholson, the Phantom.
Well, thank you, CJ. And a reminder that Phantom Radio is presented by the Kegel Company, the number one lane maintenance company in the world. For all of your lane maintenance needs, including 24-hour technical support, you can always rely on the Kegel Company. So go to kegel.net. Well, Phantom fans, this week we have yet another very special guest to talk to as we continue to interview who's who in the world of bowling in each and every area of our great sport. And our guest this week has been here many times before, and I have known him for over 40 years. He's a bowler, and he's always loved the sport. He bowled the PBA Tour, the PBA Regionals, and eventually became the headquarters tour manager. He was also a Cleveland radio personality for over 20 years, and he's owned his own business for 35 years. Now he's an author of romance novels, and we're going to learn more about that, so let's just hurry up and get him out here. Phantom fans, here's the Z-Man, Gary Zawinski. Hello, Gary, and welcome back to the show, my friend.
Thanks, Phantom. It's always great being on with you. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, you know, I mentioned romance novel, and we started a long time ago with this, and I couldn't believe you're going to be a writer. All of a sudden, you said you had 15 books done. I said, wow. And then the next thing I know, you had 25 books. So my first question is, how many you got now?
Well, I'm glad you're sitting down because I'm in the middle of my 75th book.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. My editor, who's a little bit behind me, there's only about 54 that we've had published so far, but I'm writing number 75.
Yes, that's unbelievable. It's so hard to believe, you know. Well,
That includes 7 children's books and the 2 autobiographies that I wrote. But there's a couple of books have been written.
Well, I know you've sent me some. I've asked for a few in the past. So how can our audience, our listeners, get access to that? Because I just got a notice that you just had your March release. So how can they get that release?
Well, my March release is called Love in the Mail. And we've gone to every other month on our releases. We were releasing every month. We're going to every other month. They can acquire my books. The only place I sell them is on my website, and that is zmanalmostfamous.com. zmanalmostfamous.com. And if they put in GJZ10 when they check out, they get 10% off their entire order.
All right. So, you know, this is one thing of proof that you've been around for a while, because you've had that exact same email address, I don't know, 30 years, something like that?
It seems like forever. I've got another old one I use personally, and I've had that even longer.
The only thing that is different, every once in a while, you have a different phone number, but we don't need to pass that along to our listeners. So
No, we won't go there.
I'm going to keep that personal. But unbelievable how you can have that many words, and they're all basically I wouldn't say exactly the same, but they're romance novels. And as you and I both know, there's a lot of ways to do some romance, huh?
Yeah. One or two ways. They're all happy, happy ending, clean books. And you mentioned words. I've written 2.7 million words so far.
Wow. You've kept some editor busy, but I'm sure by now you know all the words of the alphabet and everything else.
It's funny. I've got a sign here in my office. Do you realize that everything we ever say, read, do is a combination of 26 letters?
That's it. I was just going to say, I went to Hawaii one time. They only have 12 letters in their alphabet. How do they get by?
Well, they figured it out.
All right, Barnes. Well, you know, we could talk about your books forever. I'm going to mention it again at the end of the show. So you listeners, get your pen and pencil ready so you can find out the address, how to get your copies. But, you know, as you know, our listeners love stories. And you've always got a couple of stories for us. So you got one ready for us now?
Well, I do. But it's more to talk about your friend and my friend who's going into the PBA Hall of Fame, John Weber. And John has been with the PBA forever. He was a regional manager when I was the regional manager in the Midwest region, and I was in the Central region. Then he became the head of the senior tours and everything. And yet a third Weber going into the PBA Hall of Fame. And Pete got to tell him, a lot of people may have seen it on YouTube or whatever. They were sitting in, I think, John's kitchen, and Pete said that, just letting you know that you're going to go in the Hall of Fame, and John didn't believe him. And so that's a great thing. It's going to happen on April 26th, and I'm going to see if I can find a way to get in there. It's just over in Akron, which is not far from where I'm at. And John's a great guy. He's loved by his players. He's loved by the other employees. And he's one of the last of the regime that was there. That leaves only Russ Mills of the original group that, from way back, the original regional managers they had. It's a great thing for John. It's a great thing for the Weber family again. And he has definitely earned his right to be in the Hall of Fame. It's under meritorious service.
Yeah, well, you and I know, and we go back far enough to remember that he was a pretty good bowler himself before he decided to go into the management part, right?
Right. He wasn't Pete, and he wasn't his dad, but he wasn't bad. He was in his own right. And I am fortunate enough to actually have met Dick and had a chance to talk to him before he passed. I know Pete. I've bowled with him several times. And I know John and Rich, who ran the region for a while. I've been fortunate enough to know the Weber family, and they've all treated me really good. And it's just it's an amazing family. I mean, the history in bowling is just unbelievable.
Yeah. Speaking of meritorious service, Mrs. Weber, Juanita, she should be in the Hall of Fame too for putting up with all those guys all those years.
Yeah, constantly. Everybody's on the road.
Exactly.
Where are they at? Well, it depends. You're talking about Dick or you're talking about Pete. And then, you know, you throw regional tournaments in there and all that stuff. And I know how that was. When I was regional manager the last year I was there, I think what burned me out a little bit is I was gone for 42 weekends. The regional tour, the national tour, and the senior tour, you know, if the regional, I ran all the regionals, and we had a big schedule back then. I inherited that from Dan Ottman. And then, we had the senior tour. And then when the national tour was in my region, which was anywhere in Indiana, Michigan, Ohio, West Virginia, or Kentucky, I was there. I had to be there. So it just kind of wore me out. And I went back to, I broke John Weber's heart when I had to call him up and say, John, I just want to go back to being a bowler. This on the road thing with grandkids and all that was kind of rough. So,
yeah, it really is. I know I was the regional director on the Western region. We only had 23 tournaments a year, basically, sometimes 24. But I was also the advanced man on the tour. So I rarely had even one weekend off. But, you know, you choose your own thing. I tell a lot of people, you know, after you're born, you choose pretty much what you want to do. And we're our own worst enemies sometimes.
Well, that, I agree with that. I took over the region after Dan passed away because I felt like he anointed me to do that. Before he died, he knew he was sick, and he started showing me things about budgets and all that. I kept saying, Dan, this isn't – I'm a player. I shouldn't see this. He said, you're going to need this one day. And I was like, no, Dan. Well, you and I both know that that kind of came back to haunt us. But so I did it for 19 months, but my preference was not to be – I enjoyed running the tournaments. I didn't so much enjoy the other parts of it. So I went back and I finished bowling. I bowled for 18 more years after I was regional manager.
You too much, you know. It kind of cracks me up because you told me you got wore out, but now you probably never sleep doing all these books and all that. So
you know what? And there was a time early on when I didn't sleep a lot because I would wake up in the middle of the night with a thought and walk, you know, around the corner into my office and sit down, and my wife would get up to go to work at 6 a.m. And I'm sitting there already 2 chapters in writing, but I've really kind of pulled it back a little bit. I try and write a chapter a day. You know, there were some days when I used to write 3 and 4 chapters, and that's, you know, that's almost like 10,000 words. And that's, you know, my books average about 19 chapters, and 4 chapters is a big chunk of a book.
It sure is.
So if I can write 1 chapter a day, I'm more than happy, more than happy.
Well, I've done a couple of small books, taking about a year to do each one. It's very, very time consuming.
Well, mine are, I'm a binge writer. I've been called by a New York Times bestseller that I know. And she read some of my stuff, and she says, you're a binge writer. You get it in your head. I don't do an outline. I do write some notes down, but I don't do a standard outline like a lot of writers do, because as Stephen King says, you're constricted to that outline if you do that. He says an outline is a great place to have bad ideas, because then you feel like you have to live to them. I sit down and the next sentence comes from the previous sentence, and it just leads me to the on and on and on. And that's just how I write. And it's worked for me so far, but it's getting harder, I guess, but I'm running out of stories.
Well, you mentioned you were on the road for 40 some weeks a year, and I know you got a million stories, and I want to get another one from you in a minute, but I want to break away for a second just to talk about my junior program. This is 1 year anniversary. We started a year ago this month, and now we're up to 165 members. We've just completed our website, and I want our people to know about our website. And it's kegel.net/phantomjr. Go there and look at our website. It's been professionally done. It's got a lot of assets to it. You'll enjoy reading it, seeing all the kids' names are on there. We've had 7 kids on our shows now. We're going to highlight the junior bowlers. We want to give them as much exposure as we can. And we're starting a fundraiser. Obviously, it's not cheap, even though we don't charge our members. They join free, but as soon as they join, we give them a prize. And then just to maintain the site and all that, we got 4 volunteers, myself, and then Brian Hirsch, or Dave Kowalski, and Sam Villarreal. We all have regular jobs, and we do this through the passion of our life and our hearts, but that's what it's all about. You can go to the website, as I mentioned, and if you're interested in helping us out a little bit, you can send me a note at savrsprt@yahoo.com. That's my email address, and we'll give you all the ins and outs about how you can donate and help us out. All right.
Well, that's an important thing, Lenny, that you're doing there, because the kids are the future. They're the future of a sport. And, you know, without the kids, the sport will die. I've seen a big uptick, like in my area. There's an enormous bowling program in the high schools that there didn't used to be. I didn't have that when I went to high school. And I mean, I graduated in 1975, and I was the county hotshot, but we didn't have that bowling option in school. And now I think nearly every school has it.
Yeah, it's huge. In fact, Dave Kowalski, one of our members of our, of our volunteer group, I met him about 15 years ago through another fellow that you probably know, Bob Black.
Oh, yeah, I know Bob very well.
Yeah, Bob introduced me to Dave. He told me he was a bowling nut. And then, we emailed back and forth a little bit. We didn't go into too much detail. You know how men are. Men don't talk like women talk. Women, you put two women together in 5 minutes, they know their grandmother's names and birth dates and everything else.
I want to make it clear. Len Nicholson made that comment. I had nothing to do with that.
But yeah, it took us a long time to get together, and we finally started talking a little bit, and he says, yeah, he was a coach up there, and then I had to squeeze it out of him, but he's in the Hall of Fame for being a Hall of Fame coach up in Michigan, and he says there's 7,000 junior bowlers up there. I says, holy mackerel, we got to do something, Bard. So he helped us get this thing going. Dave Kowalski, if you don't know him, what a guy. He's an unbelievable guy. He loves bowling. He's got the passion. I respect him, and I love the guy. I haven't never met him yet. We've been friends for 15 years over the internet, but I'm looking forward to getting back there one of these days as soon as it stops snowing.
It is 72 degrees in Ohio today. March 5th, 72 degrees.
I'm telling you, my granddaughter just went to school in Wisconsin, a college, and she was all depressed because it was snowing a few weeks ago. And now she says it's warm. It's warmer than here in California, she said. So she's happy now. Unbelievable.
I'll take warm weather all day long.
All right, I'm going to tax your brain a little bit. Dig deep into your files about a little bit of stories about back on the road or in the regional program, any kind of a story you want to tell, our listeners love them. So X-rated, nah, not on this show. But
well, that eliminates half of the stuff that happened out there after the tournament was over.
Exactly. In fact, there's several guys I know that weren't very good bowlers. And, at some point in time, I learned from Harry Golden, you had to go up to him and tell him, you got to go home and work on your game, And I've done that a couple of times, and they got upset because they're loving being on the road. I'm getting away for the weekend, having a good time. Yeah. So go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you, the deal with telling people that they need to go home. I had knee surgery. Oh, I want to say like in 2006, the rehab girl was brand new, fresh out of school, and she didn't do me well, but I strapped up a brace on my knee and I went and bowled a regional. And after 8 games, I was not last, surprisingly, bowling on. And it's my sliding leg that I had the surgery on. Yeah. And I walked in the locker room, and there were 15 guys behind me on the sheet. And I said, as I'm taking the brace off my knee, I says, you guys are just got beat by an old man with a brace on his knee. Some of you guys need to go home and work on your game and maybe not come out until you figured it out. I didn't make a lot of guys happy back then. But you know what? As a former manager, a lot of guys, would back off. I had one experience when I was on the national tour bowling the old rabbit squads with Deon Tremont. I was in Baltimore, and I was bowling next to a guy who, the double jump rule that we have out on tour where, you wait for one on one side and one on the other. He didn't get it. Yeah. So I leaned over and told the guys bowling, I says, you may want to tell him how this works. And he heard me. Now, this guy was from Brooklyn, New York. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So he comes over and gets in my face. Now, I had just quit being a regional manager at that point, and one of the guys grabbed him by the belt loop in the back and said, you don't really want to mess with this guy. And he goes, why? And he says, well, first of all, look at the arms and the shoulders on him, because I am pretty broad-shouldered. And they said, and second of all, he can make it so you can't bowl anymore ever. He says, why? He says, because he used to work for the PBA. That kid apologized to me 25 times, if it's one time before he left. I'm so sorry. It's like, just learn what you're doing out here. That's all. That's all I told him. I said, just pay attention. You didn't pay attention in the meeting. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that go on out there like that. And then, I had to learn. I mean, when our old friend Otter talked me into putting my shoes on and shoeing it up at 44 years old. I hadn't even bowled city tournaments for years. Yeah. My t-shirt shop was so busy, I didn't have time. So when I went out there, I had to learn, and I had to learn the hard way. Speaking of Ottman, that brings me to something I want to bring up. You know, we look at what's going on out there now and all the hullabaloo about this last week with the Brooklyn strikes on TV and all that. But you know what? You don't get style points. The idea is to knock 10 pins down. You knock them down, you win. And good for Boog that won. But nowadays, you know, it's like pulling teeth to get people to bowl pro-ams. I know, because we have a tournament here in Ohio that I help run and all that. And, you know, half the time you end up putting kids out there that have never bowled before, and you tell them, look, I'm going to announce your name and you're going to have a title, whether you know it or not, you know, because the little kids don't want to bowl with, you know, somebody. I happened to run across, after you and I talked the other day, a piece of paper that Ottman had, and I inherited a lot of Dan's paperwork.
Okay.
This is the pro-am squad that bowled that day, and I don't know what day it was. Dick Weber, Gary Hyde, Gene Stuss, Tita Semez, Guppy Troop, Bob Glass, Dale Eagle, Allie Clark, Mitch Jasemski, Mickey Hyam, and Tim Cobble.
Whoa.
Now, when Dan was regional manager, and when I was regional manager, if you were a name, you bowled the pro-am.
Yes, sir.
You couldn't opt out. And a few guys would opt out once in a while. I let Pete opt out one time, and I let, like, Wes Malott out one time. But you know what? I said, next tournament, you're in, no matter what. And they showed up the next time. The other one that used to show up all the time and never, ever, ever quabbled about bowling the pro-am was Deon Tremont. His question was only, what time and how many?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the kind of what the PBA pro-ams and things used to be. I mean, that's a who's who. That's half those guys are in the Hall of Fame. And Ottman was really a stickler about that. And had it not been for Dan Ottman, I wouldn't have bowled 21 years out on the tour. You and I would have never met.
Yeah, that's right.
Because we met through his passing. Somebody gave me your name for some reason, and we ended up, and the people should know that, you know, Len really helped me through that period, because Dan and I were very close. And we talked endlessly about that. And then when I got the job, you know, I called Len a couple times about that and said, hey, I'm regional manager now, and I'm flying by the seat of my pants. I was lucky enough that when Dan died and they did the interview process, that 77 of my players, the guys I bowled with on a bar napkin at a Damon's restaurant, signed a petition. They wrote it up and signed a petition on this bar napkin and handed it to then Bobby Dinkins, who was the head of the regional tours.
Right.
And when they came to do the interview with me, he and Mark Bisbing, who was the vice president of the PBA at the time, they said, you know, I'll let you know, you don't even know about this probably, but they put that bar napkin down. And I said, what's that? And they said, that's 77 of your players that want you to be the regional manager.
Man, what a motherfuckers.
I had goosebumps on top of goosebumps. And I was lucky enough to be given the job, but it was just, I to be honest, I didn't agree with some of the PBA ideas at the time.
Yeah. Well, listen, give our listeners your address again, how to get a hold of some books. And time has flown by here. Unbelievable.
All righty. This month's book is Love in the Mail, to go along with all the other love books that I've got out. And they're all nice romance, clean romance novels. My address to get a hold of my books, and it's the only place we sell them, is ZManAlmostFamous.com. That's ZManAlmostFamous.com. When you go in and go to purchase a book, you put in GJZ10 at the coupon section, and you get 10% off your entire order.
All right, Parts. Well, I really enjoyed talking with you. And as you know, I'm going to have you on every couple of months. We got to stay in touch. Plus, I can't wait for the 100th book to come out. That's going to be gold-plated, I'm sure. you better put a gold a cover on that thing.
I will, and I'll probably put on the cover somewhere that it's the 100th book. As it is, I should put on this one that it's the 75th book.
Yeah, that's a good anniversary right there. All right, Pards. Well, the old clock on the wall says we're out of time, and I can't believe how quickly the time flies in this show, but I really appreciate you being on. I want to thank our sponsors, Storm Bowling, and also Brad Edelman from the High Rollers, and also I want to thank my staff on my junior tour out here with the kids, Brian Hirsch, Sam Villarreal, and Dave Kowalski. So for Phantom Radio, thank you, Z-Man. This is the Phantom.
When you're down and troubled and you need some love and care and nothing, well, nothing is going right. Close your eyes and think of me, and soon